Up dog fella, look good, feel good, play good. We got some new Adidas golf swag coming the fella's way.
I don't know if any new golf swag would help your game, but I love it. Adidas is excited to introduce new offerings within the Go-To apparel collection that allows you to bring your style to the golf course. Not the traditional golf uniform, Go-To brings a fresh attitude to the game wherever you play. You'll look good on and off the course while enjoying all the technical benefits that let you play your best.
Featuring streetwear-inspired style, the Go-To collection rewrites all the rules and encourages you to express your style through every swing. Explore the new Go-To collection on adidas.com/golf.
Fellas,
Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
What's missing curfew? It's when you kind of play guilty, but you show up.
How nice is a green light on the road, though? No practice tomorrow, no plane, just go.
Scotty Upshaw in the clear, and he scores! Right in front, scores!
A few laughs, a little bit of fun, and obviously a lot of hockey talk.
You're listening to Missing Curfew.
The lads.
Fella.
My man. Welcome back, champ. Hey,
good to be back. Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Thank you.
First ever?
Thank you. Well, I mean, I've won a flight. Like, me and you me and you won our flight in the whatever, fall or spring classic.
Spring.
Me and you qualified for the championship in the Cravens.
Yeah.
I won my flight one time with Lupul back in the day. Somehow, me and him at Shady Canyon won our flight. But never took it downtown, Charlie Brown.
No, you never took her down.
It was unbelievable. First place, gross. Me, shout out to my team. I mean, Joe Moody made some putts on the final round at Spyglass. These greens were just like this fucking hard court here. He's the best downhill putter I think I've ever seen.
Well, he's got the bullseye, that's why.
Right? Butter knife.
The old Titleist bullseye, folks. Like, you cannot make this shit up. He can putt left or right.
Yeah, he made some just massive, massive putts. We played Spanish Bay the first day. Have you ever played Spanish?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's not great. But actually, okay. Let's be honest.
It's nice to mix it in.
Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah.
The boys were rattled. Like Taylor Wood, who is a great, great golfer. And I guess you see this sometimes in the Open Championship with guys, right? They hit good shots. It bounces. He's like, I hit one on whatever hole. I hit it down the right-hand side of the fairway. And when I got up there, it was on the left-hand side in a hole. And he's like, you know, I thought I hit a couple shots to greens. They're about to redo it. They're going to redo it. The guy name is Will. Is it Will Genson or Will Henson or some architect?
No idea.
Will somebody.
William Upshaw.
He's coming in there with a bulldozer and he's fucking taking Spanish Bay down. But we hung tough the first day. We were leading after the first day. Then we played Pebble up. The weather, buddy, was Bluebird Day. But I didn't wear pants one day. I had shorts on. Came back with a tan. Unbelievable. We hung tough. Pickup and Will Tipton's team took the lead on the second day.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they played really well. We didn't play great. I made two birdies on the Saturday at Pebble, and then I got her going at Spy. I made four birdies at Spy.
Was it a handicapped tourney too? Or?
Straight gross. Two ball.
Wow.
Two ball low. Two ball best ball.
And Taylor Wood's team didn't compete?
There's a net and a gross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'd think Woody's team would be right up there with the gross, how good he is.
Yeah, him, Don DuBois.
Oh, wow.
C-Dub.
Took them down?
Oh, yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. We
and Peter Shea, right, in that group?
Pete Shea played with, who did Pete Shea play with? They were more of a net team. They were more, I think they were in the mix. Well, shout out to Will Gale, Gunnar Gale.
Yeah.
They were there.
I heard they were.
Yeah, Gunnar hosted his cousin, Wilbur. They had a great, they're just young kids. To be young again, right? To be young again.
I mean, those guys are fucking. They're doing all right.
They're doing great.
They're doing good.
They had two of their buddies there.
Early 20s. I mean, what else do you want?
Yeah, I just was like, oh, you guys. I felt, you know, a little old looking at them. But Spyglass. I mean, that back nine of Spyglass is. I don't know if you remember it, but it's got like a. Not that I've ever played Augusta, but it's all in the trees.
Yeah,
it's nasty. I mean, solid pickup. I mean, this guy's a legend of all legends. Takes the boys up there on his bird. Stays right on the number one fairway. Yeah, it was sick. Great. He had a missing curfew. Had it on the last day. I'm like, come here, take a picture with me. But Pebble, man, I don't know if there's anything better than that, to be honest with you. With that
not
weather.
On a Bluebird Day, no. So it's if you're a golfer, that's bucket list. Because usually you go there, it could be midsummer, it could be whaling like Ireland.
Oh, fuck. You know what it was like?
Torrential.
Remember the day we got at Old Head?
Yes.
Every day, all 3 days were like that.
Oh, that's crazy.
Even the caddies, the local guys that were from Carmel and Monterey, they're like, boys.
Yeah, you're getting that in March.
They're like, this is crazy. This doesn't even happen. They're like, we have a short summer here. Our summer starts in, what did he say, August? It ends in September or something. He's like, there'd be days in July where we don't see the sun for, you know, the week here. He's like, you guys got, it was crazy. And the best part about winning it is you got to get invited back the next year, right? There's no way they can't not invite back the defending champ.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm in. I got to be in for one more.
I got to say, I got a text from your phone. Do you know who that was? Who sent that?
Grant Garbers.
Was it?
From the Bird, yeah.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, tell Uppy that you're invited back 100% now. I'm like, well, I mean, because I played 2 years ago. Then I got cut.
Yeah.
Right? I was a last-minute addition to the team. Bert, who's actually a beauty, he hurt his back. I played, then they cut me, and then I got picked again. So that's why I was really fired up, Ups. They can't cut the defending champ.
No, they can't. But let me read this text from it. It was kind of like, I thought it might have been to me or something, but it was like, Uppy, wish you're here. Your boy is champ, and he got the auto invite next
year. Yeah, that was garbage sitting beside me in the plane.
I thought for a second that was my invite, but
ha, hey,
I know.
Listen, there's some rumblings. There was some chatter about you.
It's an all gross. I like
that. Yeah. There was a lot of chatter about you.
Yeah. Step it up.
I would say
guys to go down though, right?
I would say that your name is being floated around.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely being floated around.
Was there any guys that like had a poor showing, like couldn't play, maybe got too drunk?
everybody got too drunk. I mean, it was
no, what happens in Pebble stays a Pebble. I get that.
It's just a great boys trip. I mean, you're up early, actually great tee times, Ups. Played Spanish at 10:30.
Wow.
Yeah, and then played Pebble at 9:15. Was perfect. Yeah. And then 8:30 shotgun at Spyglass. Boys were hurting a little bit on Sunday, St. Patty's Day.
I bet.
Dennis Shen had the best outfit on ever. Shady's got the broomstick putter now going, by the way. He's got up dog. He's got the broomy going. He's got the broomy going. But it's for a great cause too, for Big Brothers Big Sisters, which everyone will donate to, which is Todd Pickup's go-to charity. Todd does so many great things for Big Brothers Big Sisters. He wants us to put in a missing curfew team for the coming up in May at Newport.
An influencer team.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring some hockey guys in there.
I want Richardson and Stoli to come.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All National League
team. I said, we'll get you an LA Kings team, and then we'll put in a Ducks/curfew team or whatever. But I would like Stoli and Richie maybe to come down and play on that.
Yeah. We'll get them a foursome. They should fill their own foursome. Be great.
Yeah. So the Big Canyon boys, Todd Pickup, thank you very much. And speaking of champions, bud, the players recap presented by our good friends at Adidas Golf. By the way, this Aberg guy, the guy that's now number 10 in the world.
Yep.
He wears Adidas head to toe.
Yeah, Aberg. Yeah.
He looks good out there too.
I tell you, the Adidas, the shoes are rocking right now.
Alexander's still wearing the Adidas.
I know. This Lupo, by the way, I played golf with him last week. He needs some new shoes. He wears like the old school, like Dustin Johnson Adidas from like 2004.
Oh, dude, that was hilarious. So shout out to R-Dub.
Oops, get some new wheels.
R-Dub is a member at Shady Canyon, and you know how they have that like Cutthroat Friday game? So we're sitting in the tap room, and R-Dub's got the thing on his phone, and I got a nice glow going. I'm like, what did Lupo shoot? Show me what he shot or what he lost. And listen, he was dead last, and I don't know what he shot, a fucking million. I said, get on that plane to Singapore or wherever you're going, Loops. But yeah, they Bill Comrie won this week in their game.
Wow.
Yeah, they have it on the app. They have good technology.
I bet she won best personality, too. Best personality.
Oh, for sure. Actually, R-Dub told me the story of Bill, what he did to start the brick, him and his brother, I guess it was, or whoever, like crazy. Yeah.
Driving couches up to Fort Myers?
Yeah, well, guaranteed overnight delivery on mattresses.
Overnight delivery, and you don't have to pay me for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was the way that he would just basically 0% interest. He started the 0% interest, like basically mock up for business.
Yeah. And he sold the brick and then bought it back and then sold it again, right?
Yeah. And he gave, just being the beauty that he did, he gave like 40% of the stock back to all the employees.
Wow.
So he basically, you know, employees are the foundation of your company, and he gave it a lot of it back to them. I mean, he took some and got it Pelican Hill.
As he should have, but I think Loops needs to find a new Friday game, by the way. That game seems to be He lost a pretty decent number there, but the Players' Championship, up dog. Listen, we sit here and we talk about Live Tour a lot, and I'll be honest, I'm a fan of Live Tour. I've been watching it this year. The one thing I did take away from the Players' Championship throughout the whole week, besides maybe that nerd biscuit, Brandel Chambly, is that everybody's ready to figure this out, right? Like, yeah. It was such a great golf tournament. I mean, the Players' Championship on a Sunday, I watched it yesterday. You know, I tried to watch the Flames and Caps play last night, and then I just turned it off and started watching the Players because it was coming on again. What a tournament. But we need best on best, man.
I know.
They got to find out a way.
Well, and they're trying. I mean, Albany, your place that you were just at, is now a hub this week for Live Tour hierarchy and PGA, you know, commissioners, Tiger Woods. They're all touched down right now. They're meeting as we speak. It was all over the Golf Channel this morning. The beautiful minds are together trying to put something together, trying to figure it out because, like you just said, there needs to be a situation where these guys figure out, at least give us like six tournaments. Give us something.
That's what I mean.
You know, give us the majors. Give us the Players. We'll give you two live events to PGA. Bring fucking, make two teams. Whatever the fucking thing is. They got to figure it out.
We got to figure it out.
Because Scheffler, he arguably could be winning these in a best on best. Like his game's that good right now.
Cool.
But it's not best on best. It's
yeah.
Not. And the way that they're treating like the world golf rankings and stuff is just like it's bullshit.
Yeah, it's funny you said that.
John Rahm's not fucking top three in the world. Like, what are we talking about?
I looked up Dustin Johnson's world golf ranking just for shits and giggles. He's like 237th in the world. I'm like, come on. Like,
guy can kick anyone's ass one-on-one.
DeChambeau, who I'm not a huge fan of, he was like 140th in the world or something. It's like, come on, boys. Let's figure
check their bank accounts.
No, their bank accounts are nice. And speaking of a nice bank account, I mean, you said it, Scottie Scheffler. Dude, in 2 weeks, first of all, thank you, brother. By the way, he looks good with the beard.
He looks good. Yeah, he looks jacked, too. Like, he's been working out lean. Like, he's strong. You watch him on Sunday, it's like he's in prime form. He looks energized. He's not, like, you know, limping around. Got a strut.
So I text you Wednesday night, and I'm sitting here chirping Brandel Chambly, and I was listening to them picks, him and that Irish beauty Paul McGinley, who I'd love to have a pint of Guinness and a big shot of Jameson with. And Chambly says, I'm Scottie Scheffler's gonna win this golf tournament because you can move it left to right, you can do this and that, his putting's here. So I'm like, I text you right after, I'm like, up dog, I just put an insurance bet in on Scottie. We got him at +550. So once again, he came through for me, but I almost had Brian Harman, that little Georgia little bulldog.
Yeah, yeah, he did finish best for lefties. That was a win-win-win on DraftKings.
Dude, he hit that drive on 16 like me.
I know.
You just got, that hole played like 250 under par or something, and he pars it on Sunday. If he birdied 16, he almost birdied 18, he would have got him into a playoff, but I had him at 500 to win 22K. So I'm sitting here on the bird with the boys watching on my phone going, come on, fella. Come on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That would have been insane. It's a weekend that would have been for you.
Yeah.
Back-to-back couple weeks for you. Vegas and then that. Yeah, I mean, keep it rolling.
Yeah. I mean, such a great tournament, though, isn't it? That golf course.
Yeah.
It looks like you got...
We talked about it last week. It's for a professional's eye, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
You look at the tee shots from the way they had camera angles, and you see how they have to shape shots, like you just said, with the, like, misses or falling off and into down, like, bunkers and tough lies.
Told,
but like if you play from the fairway, it's a beautiful golf course, right?
You can attack it.
Yeah, it's a great track.
If you just get out of, you got to hit both ways.
I know.
But how great is it when they get to 16 and those final groups making that walk to 17? And 17 was playing so hard on Sunday. It was blowing whatever the opposite way it normally does, and we all know where that Sunday pin is. But these leaders just walk in there, like the feel them. I've been there one time on a Thursday, so I didn't get the feeling as a fan. It was years ago. But every time I watch, I'm like, could you imagine like what you're feeling? Yeah. 135 yards.
Yeah, it's insane. I mean, how was number 7, by the way, at Pebble? How did it play?
7 played. Couldn't have played any easier.
Really?
Yeah, I hit
125.
Thursday I had 82 yards hitting the back bunker.
So you played Thursday, Saturday at Pebble.
Practice around Thursday. Hit in back bunker on Thursday. Made 4. Oh, and then on Saturday, I thought I hit a peach, hit the lip of the front bunker, and rolled back in and made 4. But I couldn't have played any easier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Couldn't have. I mean, you want to talk about golf holes. When you get to
8,
6,
yeah,
7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
So eight's what? Is that eight's, Jack's or our?
Yeah, that's Jack's par four.
Favorite.
So
par four.
For you, like, you couldn't hit driver. It's where Spieth almost went over the cliff.
Yeah, it's a. You know what it reminds me of?
It goes like that.
18 at Pelican North, doesn't it? A little bit, like the way the fairway goes like that, and then you got to hit over the fairway to the green.
That's a tough hole, 18 at Pelican North.
But that's the angle of it.
Yeah. You know how many times I doubled that fucking hole? Yeah. Play with you a loophole, then I have to go in there and buy you guys dinner. But yeah, so you got to hit it up the left. So for you, it would be like driving iron.
Yeah.
But then you got
broke my driving iron this weekend.
Okay, we'll so for maybe it would be driving iron. Then it'd be, what's your next club? Three iron. And then you got 185, everything going like this.
Yeah.
You know, you have to hit a left to righter, and that's why Jack loved it, because he hit a big high cut. But you have to hit it in like that. And I was a little tight on that morning. I hit it way left over back almost on six, and I hit it up left of the green, and I made six. I thought I hit a good chip. It fucking almost ended up in the ocean, and then three Jack. I mean, the greens were just like this. It was crazy. But that stretch of holes, and then you get to 12. 11's hard up the hill. 12's a par three. 14's a gorgeous hole. And then you got the par five. Sorry. 14, the par five, up the hill, the monster, the bear. 15, and then 17, 18 are just...
They're sick, yeah.
Sick. So sick.
I got a boner over here. I got a pretty much half.
So on the Saturday day, that I was sitting on 18, and people are walking. And these people are... I'm way right. I hit it fucking... I still didn't think the caddy buddy went up and kicked her in for me. So he's like, yeah, I got it right here. I'm like, all right. So I get up there, and these people are walking down the bank right there.
Yeah.
Mom and daughter, and I probably assume her brother or boyfriend. And they're walking, and I'm like thinking... Heads up here. Like, I just said, you might want to have an eye here. Like, you know, and then I just kind of hit a little
brand. Max Homa, you saw that.
Oh, my God.
Holy shit. Did you see the video of the guy actually videotaping it? And the ball comes right over his head.
No, I seen it from the angle of the guy behind Max.
No, you should see that from the angle of the guy videotaping him. And the ball flashes in front of his eyes and hits the tree at 2 inches behind. It's like the apple, like throwing the dart at the apple above your head.
Dude. When I first saw the clip, I thought, and I love Max Homa, but I'm like, why would you stand that close to anybody in the world?
I actually was kind of shocked that his first move was just to go out into the fairway. I thought he'd go over and maybe apologize a bit. No,
he was probably like, Jesus, I almost killed somebody.
I know. I would have went right there like, oh my God, here, take my glove. What's your number?
But not my shirt. Yeah. But man, the players was unbelievable. Up dog. And what was I going to say? Wyndham Clark, this guy's a bulldog too.
Yeah. That putt. I mean, what the hell?
Who
cut that hole?
Did he hit it too hard?
Yeah, but still, it should drop.
Yeah.
The gods should let that go in. Right?
Well, for him, yeah, you would think so. But I just, like, it could have went down, but I thought he hit it a little firm. Yeah. Like, it kind of went, but it was Homa. It could have, who am I kidding? It could have dropped, no problem.
I know.
Great golf tournament. Up dog. We are 3 weeks away from the Masters, I believe, right? We got Copperhead this weekend, and then we got the Texas Open, and then Augusta. Three weeks. God, I can't wait.
Should we go? What is
that? That's like second week of April.
Maybe.
It's just hard not to sit at home and listen to Jim Nance's beautiful voice.
But you can have the walkie-talkie cruising around with your AirPod. No, they don't let you have your phone out there.
What? Yeah, they do now.
Are you sure?
Oh, yeah. Because I've seen pictures online of like pre-phone, and then like it's like Tiger in
and then it's
Tiger here, and everyone's just like that.
It was better with no.
Getsy was there. Getsy was there when Tiger won on 18. Ryan Getzlaff, who we're going to get into a little bit later here. But Adidas, thank you. The Players Championship was unbelievable. Last but not least here, DraftKings, babe. Up dog, fella. If you're at the bar, club, or better yet on the golf course, and you look over at the fellas to order something, and they all freeze up.
Well, I'd tell them, hey, boys, loosen up. But what would you do, fella?
Exactly. Have some confidence, fellas. Or as Jagermeister calls it, shoffidence. If everyone's struggling, here's what you do. Just order for the table. A round of ice-cold Jagermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, up dog, we've all been drinking Jagermeister wrong.
I guess so. And how do you think we should be drinking it?
The fellas at Jagermeister, they want it at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, Uppie.
You know what? Thinking back, when that cart girl comes around the path, Oves, and the boys are thirsty, and you're just wishing, damn, I'd love just a nice cold shot of Jagermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging with friends or at the bar, call the shots, fellas. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check Jägermeister out at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jägermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume. Imported by Mast Jägermeister U.S., White Plains, New York.
Be up, dog. It's March Madness. Listen, I watched one college game all fucking year. It's the game I went to. I went to Kansas versus Oklahoma, and I left before it ended. But saying that, it's such a great tournament. Anything can happen. And our friends at DraftKings, I already got in one of their pool. It was free. $50,000 on the line. I don't know if that goes all to the first, but I'm sure it's trickled through it. It's a fantasy style one. My bracket is in. I got the Kansas Jayhawks winning it because
plus 5,000.
Is that what they are?
Yeah, plus 5,000 on DraftKings. Yeah.
Wow. So I got to tickle that too. Because Mac Miller's from Kansas, and I went to their game. What an atmosphere! I did a little bit of research. They've been scuffling a little bit, but I'm like going with them. Scuffling. They've been scuffling.
I'm taking Wisconsin as my long shot. Plus 7,000.
Love it.
Wisco. Let's go. But UConn's the favorite at plus 360. They're always right there, right?
Yeah.
Purdue, plus 700. Houston, plus 550.
What's Purdue?
Purdue, plus 700.
They got that big center, huge monster. Monster. But so does Kansas. Kansas has his senior, a big old white boy that's just a giant. I think you need those big boys in college hoops. Yeah. But, I mean, this tournament is literally – I mean, if you want to tickle something here, this is the one you tickle because anything can happen. And the bet, there's a bet, I believe, for a buzzer beater is minus 125. There's been a buzzer beater in the last 9 straight NCAA tournaments. And then if you want a better bet, the round of 64, which is the first round, I believe it's like plus, I want to say 250 for a buzzer beater. But if you want to bet buzzer beater, it's minus 125 that there'll be at least one buzzer beater game winner in the tournament. It's happened the last 8 or 9 years.
I love it. I'm trying to, there's a bunch of cool bets here. You can play or it's just
dude, this tournament, if you're lucky enough to be in a legalized state with DraftKings, get on there and just start tickling stuff because anything can happen, man.
Yeah.
Anything. This is the biggest crapshoot in the world.
I know. Where you either lose your shorts or you pay for your kids' college.
I'll never forget. I had UCLA. And shout out to Benny Mack because he had it too. This, you were there. We were at the Goose. This is years ago. And they were like minus something stupid up, dog. 1,500 or to beat, I don't know who it was, Gonzaga or something. Or maybe the other way around or whatever. And they ended up winning the game. So you can get stung the other way too, like with a massive upset. So tread carefully. I think this is the tournament that you take the underdogs more. Like I'm the biggest. I never bet underdogs. But in this tournament, I think this is where you tickle up.
Your parlay cafe for the heavyweights.
Yeah.
Basically, right?
Anything can happen.
Yeah, I like that.
Check it out on DraftKings. We'll be right back at Missing Curfew,
fella.
Up, dog, fella. Why don't you tell the fellas about Lucy?
Oh, boys. Our friends at Lucy. Your nicotine routine that you can't turn down. Listen, for you guys out there getting off tobacco or whatever the case may be, you want your breath smelling fresh, that's what our friends at Lucy have. Choose from all these flavors: mint, apple ice, espresso, mango, and more. For all those guys wasting your time driving to the gas stations, sign up for the monthly subscription, boys. 15% off, no commitment, cancel anytime. Fella, pouches, breakers, or gum?
Lucy breakers, nicotine pouches, but with a teeny capsule inside. The capsule contains liquid flavor that saturates the pouch before it's even in use. Break it with your teeth, get it situated, and boom, instant nicotine release when you need it.
Let's level up your nicotine routine with our friends at Lucy. Go to lucy.co/curfew and use promo code
Curfew
to get 20% off your first order. Lucy offers free shipping and has a 30-day refund policy if you change your mind. That's lucy.co and use code
Curfew
to get 20% off and always free shipping.
And here comes the fine print, fellas. Lucy's products are only for adults of legal age, and every order is age verified. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Welcome back to Mr. Curfew. Uppy's World. Party time. He's got a new haircut.
Woo!
Yeah, thanks, bud. Well, I
like
trip.
I got a trip coming middle of next week. We're headed to Costa Rica, so I got to get trimmed up.
Get the surfboard ready.
I got to get the surfboard ready. I'm trying to tighten it up. A lot of yoga, a lot of saunas. But I had a good weekend, bud. Fell, I missed you, but I played Bel Air Friday. And speaking of playing left and right, I fucking hate that course. You do. I'm just not a fan. You know why?
Doesn't set up well for you?
No, it's the back nine is all left to right. And it's just, you know, we talked a lot about golf in the earlier episode there, but it's just left to right. I'm a righty to lefty guy. And down the stretch, I was slashing.
So it's left to right for a right-handed golfer?
It's left to right for, well, yeah, for anyone golfer, but.
Yeah.
I got
to
draw.
So you got to hit it. You got to hit a draw.
Not perfect.
Oh, it's great for me. I got to hit a left to righty.
You would enjoy the back nine there. But no, that was listen, I had a hell of a time. Aber, shout out to Aber, K-Wash, and Chris Parker.
Did you play with Washy?
Yeah, I played with Washy. Yeah, it was great. He's doing good. He was fired up as always. And he had to get out of there early. So I stuck around, had a couple pints before I had to jump back, you know, in LA traffic. Wasn't perfect.
Oh. That's the only thing about the shitty golf. That sucks, but you got to drive.
But hey, while we're on the DK, the tennis, buddy, you know, the Open that they have in
Indian
Palm
Wells.
Springs, epic tournament. Like, I mean, if you ever have a chance to go watch these guys in action.
I want to.
So you see, the prelims are where, you know, you get to see them play on those little tiny courts, which is epic. But this fucking Alcaraz, who happened to stay in our boy Jeff Gale's house, sick crib in the desert, he had two of the most epic battles in the semis, and then he played Medvedev in the finals. But him and Sinner, if you wanted to watch two athletes just go at it in gladiator style, modern day gladiator style, watch these guys play tennis together. They track down balls left and right. I guess this court plays one of the slowest courts, hard courts in the on tour. And so these guys, as their defense, they track down everything. So these rallies you get are just insane, mind blowing. But Alcaraz beating Sinner in the semis was one thing, and then he just absolutely worked this young, you know, the young Russian Medvedev in the finals.
Medvedev's good too. How do you just work that guy? He's a beast.
I know. So back-to-back champs for Alcaraz here at this tourney. So it's sick.
He'll be staying at Jeff Gill's pad again.
Looks like it.
He went full up dog, I guess, when he rented our boy's pad. He took out his pictures and put his own family's pictures in there, Alcaraz.
He rented
the house and put his pictures of his family in the house for the tournament.
Sounds like something I used to do.
That's an updog move.
Sounds like something I used to do back at Loophole.
Yeah, you did it to me. It's fucking hilarious.
So, no, I had a great weekend. And then, you know, I wanted to touch on this for all those folks out there who are maybe diving into the crypto world. I've been buzzing.
Yeah.
I figured out how to work, you know, Coinbase and then get the MetaMask account. And for all you guys out there who don't know what crypto is or, you know, the foundation of it all, I didn't either, but I've been diving into this. I got a couple boys helping me. I got Mitchell Nicholson, this kid out of Toronto. He's a beauty. He's been in crypto forever. Met him on Twitter. He's a huge hockey guy. He throws these analogies of like, I'm like, man, you know, should I double up today? Like, it seems like the markets are kind of getting crushed. He's like, no, but he's like, your star players are your star players. You're just going to switch them up if they have one bad game. I'm like, so he's
That's
a hockey
awesome.
Guy. Loves
he just puts the hockey analogy into it for you.
It's perfect. He's
That's
like my
great.
Assistant GM. And then my boy Tim Emanuel out of Calgary, this guy, we go back and forth a lot. He's
both Canadian guys.
Yeah, a couple Canadian guys. Yeah. Like,
so there's only one market for crypto, right? It's not like the Canadian Stock Exchange and the American. There's just one market for crypto.
No, there's.
It's a free-for-all.
No,
right?
So it is kind of a free-for-all.
Yeah.
But if you followed it, like big financial institutions now jumping into crypto with these ETFs, like the Bitcoin ETF, which is like, you know, you have BlackRock and Fidelity, the two biggest. You know, firms.
I got a little BlackRock.
Hello.
I got a little BlackRock.
These guys now have basically funds that they are allowed to invest in Bitcoin. So they create a big pool and they invest for you. You know, come in at whatever price and whatever. So it's pretty, you know, open to society now to do this. People are like, it used to be for crime and for spending on drugs and whatnot, but that's really not the case anymore. You're paying your bookie.
Spending on drugs.
You're paying your bookie or your drug dealer. That's not so much the case. So right now you say like the market. So there's a few different markets. You can invest in Bitcoin. You can invest in Ethereum, which has its own basically ecosystem and things that live under Ethereum.
Yeah.
And then you can do Solana, which is a whole other thing that has these fun meme coins, which, you know, if you ever listened to Elon Musk talk about Dogecoin, like he'd just randomly be like, oh, I wonder how my dog's doing today. Dogecoin would just skyrocket like 100%.
Oh, he could move the market.
He can move the market, Elon. So, but they're these meme altcoins.
So basically, when you structure like a portfolio for which I've learned is you have those heavy boys, your starting lineups, your Ethereum, your Bitcoin, whatever, and then you got like your go-to grinders, you know, or your second power play unit, and those might be, you know, for me, that
sounds like my top titty team. I try to put in every week here on your crypto.
Yeah. This week. I got crushed. But I do have to talk about these things because I bought them. So I donated last week to this. It's a meme called WIF. WIF is dog with hat. Okay, it's this little dog that wears a wool hat.
Gotcha.
And it's basically got a bigger market cap than Spirit Airlines. So more people have invested in this little meme coin than they have in the whole business of Spirit Air. Now, if you've ever flown Spirit Air. So dog with hat. So basically, they raised last week alone, O'Brien, you're gonna love this. They raised $750,000 in a week to put this dog on the Sphere in Las Vegas. So they raised this much money amongst their little, like, you know, X or, you know, their society that they have to put the dog for 1 week, his fucking head on the Sphere. So I gave $500 to that. I was like, is this a write off? No, I don't know. And then, so dog with hat is my one little, he's my guy. And then Pepe, he's like this little frog. He's another guy that lives on the Ethereum market. Pepe or dog with hats on Solana.
This is fucking hilarious.
I know, it's great. But anyone out there who's listening, you've seen these things now, buddy, they fluctuate. Like they could be down 25% as we started this podcast, or they could go up. But,
or you might've just moved the needle.
Yeah, we're trying.
Maybe you move the needle ups.
So dog with hat. And then my boys that run this one called Pelf, it's basically the Wolf
comes
of Wall Street.
These names.
Wolf of Wall Street. You should see these memes. There's one meme like where they're going. It's Pelf for Belfort. They call him Pelford. These guys are beauties, but their meme, I'm trying to get that going. It's all these hilarious things. They throw the little cartoon midget down the, you know, like the thing. And
yeah,
he flicks the dollar bills like this. They got all the cool shit.
Love that movie.
So it's fun, but yeah, that's when Uppy's World.
Uppy's World! Crypto baby. Get in there! I just love how they come up with these names. Fellas, Labatt Blue USA. Lots of things are better together. Hockey and Labatt Blue. Golf and Labatt Blue. Barbecuing with an ice-cold Labatt Blue. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. But speaking of dogs, up dog, it's the Mystic Curfew Dog of the Week. Listen, this is the second time that I've gave this guy the award, but listen, it's Josh Manson again. I know it was last week, fellas, but fuck me. Twice. They're down 3-0 at home against Vancouver, which, by the way, Vancouver played a perfect period and a half. Manson goes out and fights Big Z, because Manson hit JT Miller from behind, which even JT Miller said it was a fine hit. But fights him. Then the next night, or two nights later, he goes and fights the big boy, Dayernay in Edmonton. Turns around the game. They go in there and beat both those teams in Western Canada. I love Josh Manson, up dog, and that's why he's the Missing Curfew Dog of the Week, fella. He can play the game any way you want. And the Avs, come on, baby. They're starting to go.
I took the Oilers in that Saturday night showdown. I mean, it was a great, I was so looking forward to the game. Two great teams playing great hockey. And you're right. You anytime you get the Avs as an underdog, you're like,
And you're so right, Uppy. And that's almost a game where you should just sit back and probably not bet it, right? Probably take the over maybe, or the first period.
So exciting, though. Yeah, that's right. Take an over.
Yeah.
Take an under or over. I like that.
I think there's been less than 5 games where I haven't bet the Avs this year at all, which is crazy. And what I should have done at the start of the year is just bet them at home. They're the best home team in the league. Yeah. And I've been saying it for the last month. If you bet them at home the rest of the way here, you'll probably make a little bit of money. But those odds on DraftKings at +110, I can't turn those down. I do think they're better than the Oilers, too. I think they're better.
Yeah, no, you're right. And I love – so just to touch on our dog of the week, Josh Manson, that's why – you know, when they move a guy like Byram, you know, he knows his role right now in this team. It's to be that enforcer, to stick up for his teammates. So he's doing exactly what they need to do, what he needs to do for them to. Did you happen to see the goal with the second left in overtime?
No.
What's Bouchard doing? So the puck gets dumped down, and it's MacKinnon going in first for the puck, and Bouchard.
Oh, I did see the goal.
Bouchard's coming on his back. What a dish! But why would you let him get the forehand position? Why
fucking take away the forehand.
Absolutely. Force him to his backhand.
Yes. Take it away. Or how about just bury him in from behind into the wall? There's 1 second left in overtime.
Dude, listen, the way Bouchard can shoot the puck, fuck, if I wish I could have shot like that, I'd have a place down in Chileno Bay.
Yeah.
However,
how about trip him?
The way he defends ups is like he's got to bend his knees more and his stick. He has a very bad stick for a defenseman, and that's what you're talking about. You cannot allow McKinnon to go to his forehand, but it was just a backdoor right to Lekkonen, right?
It was a perfect
play. Oh, that Lekkonen's
but
a sick player,
you're
too.
You're allowed to take a penalty there, and there's no repercussions.
And the game's over.
The game's over. Fucking, and you, what is, like, when you get back to the box, are you not like, do you know the rules? You're an overtime player. You're when there's 10 seconds left or 20 seconds left.
Such a good
left,
point by you. Such
fucking
a good point.
And slash a guy's hand.
Break his leg. Break rip his hat off. Hey, remember Will Ferrell? Rip his hat off.
This is your time. I don't know.
That's a great point by you.
I was watching it going, if you're chasing McKinnon down the ice and there's 5 seconds left, trip him. Fuck you.
Do something.
Yeah.
Don't let the big bull get going.
No. So anyway, I lost that one. But
hey, you're a good Alberta boy. It'll be interesting to see right now if she started today.
Oilers Kings.
Those poor Kings again would have to play the Oilers, and they're going to lose again. But the one that's intriguing to me right now is the Vancouver Canucks would play the Golden Knights right now.
And we'll is it a healthy Golden Knights or is it not a healthy Golden Knights? Because if they got Hurdle and Stone and, just, you know. If
Hurdle's going to play, right?
Hurdle should be back. He's got a bad knee, but he hasn't played in a long time.
I know.
They need and that then carry. Who knows off a cracked spleen? I mean, that's gnarly. That's where you're not really allowed to move or anything for a while.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to see Stone.
Yeah,
I'm expecting to see Hurdle.
Oh, for sure.
It would just be a bad balance for our boy Talks and the Vancouver Canucks to just be like, hey, congratulations. Way to be the best team in the West.
Yeah, here's the champs.
Here's the champs. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, it's not fun. It's not fun. But Updog, you know what is fun, buddy? Labatt Blue. Get this guy a beer, fella, presented by our friends at Labatt.
Presented by Labatt Blue Light, the pristine Pilsner, fella. Enjoy your beers together so you can live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, New York. They had a big win last night. Talk about a game that you just have really no one in the world should probably bet. I was like, Buffalo going in to play the Kraken.
Yeah.
I was like,
the Kraken are usually a good home team.
That's what I thought. If I was going to bet anything, I didn't bet it. I would have bet the Kraken, though.
Buffalo's actually playing great right now.
I know. They just got off to such a shitty start.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Buffalo, fucking here we go. We're giving this guy Labatt Blues. Yes. Hey, our boy Jason at Labatt, make sure this kid's fridge is full the way he's playing.
I know, and absolutely, because when he was in Denver, he was repping another beer. He's repping another beer. We can't have that. We need this guy having Labatt Blue Lights. Listen, Bowen Byram, we love you. 22 years old, first defenseman in Sabres history to score at least 3 goals in his first 3 games. Oh, he's the 20th D-man in NHL to do that with his new squad. Listen, 4 games, 5 points in, 3 snipes.
Dude.
I'm not shocked because he's now playing in front. He's playing alongside. You can name the kids. I actually.
Owen Power and Owen Power. Darlene.
Okay, so he's playing alongside these guys. He's not playing behind one of them.
Let's see who they got.
And to me, that's just that's a recipe. You got 3 young lefty Ds who are going to take you to the promised land. And this kid's just, I love the way he steps up in the play, Obes. I love the way he reads it. He plays as a fourth offensive forward. Just a great kid, and I'm pumped to see him doing good things in Buff.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, right now he's playing the left side with Rasmus Dahlin on the right side, so that's just 2 young studs. Dude, when he left the rink in Colorado, like, I've been traded. We talked about it. Well, I cried when I left Anaheim. You cried when we left Philly. I mean, he won a Stanley Cup in Colorado, but the way he left the rink, when he grabbed his gear and he was kind of, you know, hey, thanks, guy's going to miss you, but all right, bring it on. And then I had talked to him about, you know, good luck, kid. We love you. Meetups are pulling for you. I got buddies there. I'm excited about this. You know more than anyone. To go in and try to make an impression, you want to make a good impression. Imagine coming in and scoring 3 right away as a D-man and just be like, hey, boys, how we doing?
Yeah.
Are you happy I'm here or what?
Yeah.
Like, it's so great. It's a great thing for him. Sabres fans is exciting. I'm sticking with the D-man, the big boy in Vancouver, Zadorov, Big Z, first ever Gordie Howe hat trick he had Thursday night against Josh Manson. Listen, anytime a guy gets a Gordie Howe hat trick from the back end, he deserves ice cold Labatt Blue. And then for me, our boy Brady Tkachuk. I put them on the milk carton last week. They came back and they won a couple games at home, I think. They won the first game after I put them on the milk carton. But Brady, everyone knows how I feel about him. Listen to this. Third straight 30-goal season. And I think he's had 100 pims every year. He's had 30 goals, which I love more than that. But for a kid that young, wearing the C, up dog, I know they're not having the success that they want. And I know it's killing them. But Brady, good on you, fella. Three straight 30-goal seasons. Get that fella a cold Labatt Blue.
All right, I'm throwing in a curveball here at you, fella. This guy, Saturday night's game, Colorado versus Edmonton, he was all over the ice. Sean Walker, D-man for the Colorado Avalanche. Buddy, he could have had a Hattie in overtime. Dude. It was insane. Both goals, to me, I thought it was... remind me, is it O'Connor got hurt recently? Yeah, he looked like O'Connor. I'm like, oh, shit, O'Connor just got the first one. And then they're like, oh, that was Walker's first goal as an Avalanche. I go, what the fuck? He's the D-man.
Yeah.
And then he scores another one coming in with a rip shot. And then in overtime, buddy, he got a pass that, you know, I bet you he wishes he had it back. He tried to go top high blocker on
Skinner.
Skinner, thanks. And it was just what I saw out of him was guy that, again, new team, just talked about it. New team, new life, great opportunity playing the Colorado Avalanche and stepping in as that. He's a third pair guy. But Obi, he jumped in the play, and watching him play now behind like a Makar, like, so you're going to see Makar do his things. This guy's going to learn from Makar. His upside is going to be huge. So
we're on the same page. I almost fired him in there as a dog of the week too, because I watched him play when he was in LA. He was young. I wasn't a huge fan of him in LA. I got to be honest, as much as I love John Tortorella, Keith Jones, and DB, I haven't watched a ton of Flyers games either. So when he came over, I'm with you. The way he moves side to side, way better than I thought. His first pass is as good as anybody on their back end besides maybe number 8. But he can play. He can jump in. He can play defense. Right now he is in the third pair with Jack Johnson and him. But, dude, that's how good Colorado is. That dude is on your third pair.
Yeah, it's awesome.
He's nasty.
It's great. So fucking get yourself a Labatt Blue Light, Mr. Sean Walker.
Listen to this. Nichushkin, McKinnon, Rantanen, Letkinen, Mittelstadt. And let's just imagine. Let's just say Gabriel Landeskog. I saw him on the bench. They're in St. Louis. Shout out to Chaser and the boys. He's in St. Louis. He's looking pretty good, Landy. He was in his tracksuit, but he looked pretty good. Miles Wood, Ross Colton, Zach Parise, Brandon Duhaime, Cogliano, and Trennan. That's as good as it. I mean, no disrespect to Jonathan Drouin. He's had a great bounce back year. But if you throw Landeskog in there, I can't wait for playoff stops. I just cannot wait. I mean, I've watched enough of the regular season.
Yeah, I know.
Let's fucking go.
Buddy, this time every year I laugh when you say that because you do watch a lot of hockey.
Yeah,
you
didn't watch much last week. I was drunk in the tap room. I had it on my phone. I found it on my phone like that. Then I look over, my phone would be like knocked out like that. Listen, the Washington Capitals, I wanted to take them at the start of the year. They got the shit absolutely kicked out of them at the start of the Western swing. They hung tough. Right now, don't look now, up dog, but the Washington Capitals are sitting in the wild card spot number 2 in the East. Ovechkin's starting to play better. Tom Wilson, this guy is just a dying breed, right? The way he played last night against the Flames, he's everywhere. Weeksy's chirping. I'm like, ooh, Weeksy, that's a little more than you can chew off, eh, fella? We don't need you doing that. But the Washington Capitals, get him a black boo, up dog. I don't know if they're going to get in, but right now they are in. And as veteran guys, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, you'd love to see it.
Love to see it.
Mike Modano statue honored with the statue outside of the American Airlines Arena this week in Dallas. One thing that stood out for me, look at this little, I got this little Upshaw. Little thing.
Is that your old statue? Is that, you? I never knew it was you.
Yeah, well, this is a little Bobby Orr. Someone painted that. You know the Winter Classic almost goal I scored right fly through the air? So someone did that for me. But anyway, you see the jersey flap there. Well, I'll tell you what, Mike Modano's got a nice jersey flap on his on the statue sitting outside Airline Arena. Yeah. That right there with the flow and the curve and the skates, those old CCM tacks, I mean, badass. But record for most goals is an American, 561, and points at 1,374, 146 playoff points.
Dude.
Number 9, what a juicy number.
The statue, it looks just as good as him. Dude, he's the first guy when I came out, I'll never forget it, Sunday afternoon, Chris Bartsch. Licking his chops, just wanted to fight me. But before I realized who Chris Bartsch was, I was just watching Mikey Mo with the hair.
Yeah, sick.
And the jersey. And I'm just thinking, holy shit, I'm in the NHL. This is unbelievable. That's Mikey Mo. And then I look over at Chris Parks.
Like, he's drooling.
Yeah, like,
he's like, he's barking.
And it was drooling. A Sunday afternoon game that I might have had a few too many on the Saturday night before. And I was kind of like, fuck, 30, is this guy going to want to fight? He's like, oh, yeah, he's going to want to fight you. But we have been hard on statues here, right? I still don't believe Dustin Brown should have a statue. Me and Brad Richardson argue about it every time we see him. Brownie, you're a hell of a player. I think your jersey should be retired, but I think a statue is a big thing. This guy is the Dallas Stars, and the statue looks great. Then take good care of it, Dallas, because yeah. It looks great.
I mean, and how long did it take him to get the statue? It took him a while, right? Like,
well,
Dustin Brown
got bronzing like, that thing up. He looks like
I feel like Brown played 2 years ago.
I think Mikey Mo was like, if you're putting a statue, make sure I got a tan.
Yeah,
because it's got a tan and everything.
I know he's a stud. I played golf with him at what's our course that we used to play in Mexico. At
Diamante.
Yeah, play with him at Diamante. Great guy.
Yeah. We need a combo.
Good golfer, too.
I bet.
Great golfer.
Great style. Mikey Mo, congratulations. We need a combo trip, too, by the way. Like, we don't get there enough.
I know.
Get that guy a Labatt Blue. Up dog, moving on here. This is our boy, Princey. This is what Princey's doing. He's doing some digging. Shout out to the University of New Brunswick Reds. That's what they're called, the New Brunswick
I like
Reds.
That name.
Reds.
I like
that name. Men's hockey team. Talk about having the Bat Blues. They went 30-0. Could you imagine how much fun you'd have going 30-0? You practicing today? No.
I mean, I almost did a perfect season in Fort Mac 1 year. I think we lost four or five
how
games.
How old were you?
I was 16, and when we won the Royal Bank Cup, it was an impressive one.
Okay, so you were still enjoying.
And we played a team out of the East, what were their names? Something Broncos that they actually had a fucking perfect season until they came in for the playoffs and we waxed them. But is impressive. 30-0, 13-0 in the playoffs, fella. That's impressive.
Is it over? Do they win it all?
Yeah,
is it
they
done?
Won it all. It's
yeah,
done.
It's done.
It's corn dogs.
Turn the lights out in the college hockey back home. It's over. Sorry, guys. I haven't kept keeping up with the college hockey, but you go 30-0 in any league, that is unbelievable. So good on those boys. I couldn't imagine just how much fun you'd have winning 30 straight hockey games. I mean, anytime I won two straight, I was like, let's get after it. Updog, the NHL, I'm going to call him the DraftKings. 3 stars of the week here. I just want to touch on this. First of all, Kucherov.
Huh.
Just when I think he's going to leave McKinnon alone and I'm going to win my, you know, Hart Trophy bet, he comes back.
7 points.
7 points in two fucking games, man.
All right, that's crazy.
Listen, I'm going to watch Tampa play here. I haven't watched Dumba play yet. I watched him walk into the rink. He had a nice-looking suit on. But, I mean, I'm excited to watch Tampa down the stretch here. But, I mean, 7 points in two games is unbelievable.
I'm a lot of D here, boys. They have a D up here.
It's crazy. Marc-Andre Fleury, shout-out to the Flower. And then last but not least, this rookie puke. He's going to do it to me here. Connor Bedard. Every time, listen, he plays the Ducks and Sharks. It's like you can see how much better he is than everyone else out there, right?
Big time.
Like, it's like, are you guys
So imagine when he plays the good players. It might be a couple of years, but. When he's on the ice with a McKinnon or a Rantanen or a Draisaitl or someone that can just play hockey, who knows how good he's going to be? Like, picture that where you don't have to wait. The thought is, where's Connor Bedard at? Because you got to worry about Draisaitl or Makar or someone. Imagine when he's able to get lost on the ice and get open.
Imagine when in 2 years, I guess. Drysdale's a free agent first, but they have the most cap space in the NHL. The Chicago Blackhawks are going to have like unlimited cap space.
And they get McDavid.
And Drysdale. Yeah, imagine Drysdale. Bedard, Drysdale, McDavid. How are you?
Oh,
how the fuck
how
are
many
you?
Cups do they win?
Bring back the back. It would be unbelievable. Yeah, he's playing with Tyler Johnson.
We might have to move this show right to Chi-Town.
And Kurashev, who I think is a prospect as well. This is a bad, bad hockey team. Holy moly. That is a bad squad.
But, I mean, hell, if their plan is right, they get another first rounder this year, first overall pick, and then they just fire the wheels at who?
I mean, listen, they're going to have cap space, and in 2 years, you know, who knows what the cap's going to go up to, and they're going to have tons of it. And then, yeah, they're in a good spot. I mean, Kyle Davidson, I think they got the great coach, and Luke Richardson stretched the body, stretched the career.
Bring Perry back.
I'm gonna owe Lupo $1,000. So how many goals he got? 22.
Yeah, he needs 3 more. I think. Right.
He didn't get hurt again somehow.
Oh, I don't see that.
Don't blow Freud out or something. But congrats to those boys, Cooch. Unbelievable. Bedard proved me wrong again. It's milk carton time here at Missing Curfew. And once again, I apologize, fella. I know this happened last week, but good God, Updog called it. Connor Brown, take him off the milk carton, and he scored the exact goal the Updog said. Go to the fucking net, and he did, and he didn't even hit a stick. It hit a skate. Hit a skate, and went in. And you beauties up in Edmonton, throwing the hats on the ice. I mean, I'm just like, you are Alberta beauties.
Yeah.
Hey, good on him. He got one up, dog. Take him off the milk cart.
I mean, it's fantastic. Between him scoring his first and Hyman getting three off his ass. Well, actually, one was a nice two-on-one goal. But he got the third, like, right off his groin, went in for his 45th or 46th of the season. I don't know.
Oh.
But, you know, the fans had a lot of fun with it. It's impressive. But what I said, it's not rocket science.
You're
playing in the
exactly
NHL with some of the best players in the league. You got a two-on-one, just go to the fucking net.
It couldn't have been, but I'm watching it. It couldn't have been better. Lupo texted me. He finally got one. I'm like, I'm watching it. I go, and it was the exact way Uppy told him. Just go to the net. And Kane, great play by Kane, took it wide, threw it over there. And it hit Brown right in the skate. He still hasn't shot one in the net yet, but he got one. I would say this if I played the Oilers. I would say, hey, we can't shut down 97 and we can't shut down 29, but Hyman is not getting to the blue paint. Yeah. However, you're going to box this guy out. I know the rules are so soft now and you make it hard, but you got to keep Hyman out of there.
He's a tank down there.
Yeah, you got to find a way. Get a stick.
Could you imagine Could you imagine 10 years ago Hyman was going to the front of the net like that and staying there and scoring 45 goals a year?
Pronger would have broke his fucking elbow or broke his forearm. Or no. God, no. Mike Rathje would have cross-checked him. Yeah. Darren Hatcher.
Oh, he would have loved it.
Yeah.
It's just wild to see the game change so much and then how players just don't go stand there.
No, listen. You're so right.
And then you go fish a puck out from behind the net. Sorry, Obi.
No.
Get it to your good player and go right back there.
Totally.
It's nuts.
Go get it if you got to fish it out of the corner. But other than that, don't leave ever. Yeah. Unless you obviously back check.
You got to go get it. If a puck gets rimmed around by the D, go stop the puck, make the play, get back to the net.
Yeah, and I would say this. Like, you're so right from a forest perspective. As a defenseman, find a way to protect that blue paint and you will make a lot of money and continue to get signed. And I think it's time for the NHL to really, I get it. We went back, Kucherov got cross-checked by Mayfield in Long Island. All of a sudden we had a cross-check problem. But now the front of the net, it's too soft. I mean, I saw one, Hyman was standing in front of the net against the Capitals by himself. Like, we got to have a battle there.
What if there was, like, the key? Like, where you can't stand in there for so long. You gotta
Defense.
They put
Shaq back in the day.
It's a big circle, and you can only stand in there for 3 seconds. You got to get out and come back.
Just let him cross-check something.
Yeah, or you're getting fucking worked.
Oh, it's brutal. It's brutal. But, hey.
They don't even wear wrist guards anymore because they don't get slashed or anything.
No.
We used to have to wear, like, you get broken. You know.
I would cross-check guys right between the shoulder pad and elbow pad, right there all night long.
That'll ruin your golf game.
Yeah. Like, I used to cross-check guys. I could feel their bone. How was that?
Yeah.
How was that?
I miss that pain.
You were great in front of that. But
no, but this is the, I remember you just like flex your tricep. And it's just like in one.
Yeah,
it's just swollen already.
You got one more milk cart before we move on here.
Our friend John Tortorella, you're going on the milk cart.
Put him on there.
Sean Couturier, your newly named captain, is expected to be a healthy scratch. I just watched his interview. He's not happy. He's questioning, probably questioning life right now. It's not perfect. And then reports out of Philly is also Cam Atkinson, Dennis Gurianov, and Mark Stahl are also expected to be healthy scratch. I don't know. A little shakeup. They're still in a playoff spot, but Torts, there must be rhyme and reason. I read Danny B saying he treats everyone, it doesn't matter who you are, if you're wearing the C or not, Tortorella's going to treat you the same. I never had a coach like that.
No.
But I'll tell you what, if that's true, take the Toronto Maple Leafs tonight.
Yeah. I get it. I don't get it. They're 4-5-1 in their last 10. They've lost two straight, but they're sitting 76 points. They're in the third in the Metro. The Islanders are 3 points behind with a game in hand. I love John Tortorella, but I had more fuck you matches with Torts than anyone. This one, I don't quite get. I don't know what he's trying to do here. Like, it's a fickle line, Torts, where, like, you don't want to lose your room now. You've built so much good things that, I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it's losing your room was one thing, but you just have a little respect for your captain. I mean, he's not playing that bad, is he? And if he is, like, pull him aside.
Yeah.
Keep talking to him. Like, fuck, don't sit him. What are we doing?
I think Torts probably just wants Couturier to go in there and tell him to fuck off, and Torts be like, all right, you're in.
Yeah, he's too nice.
Torts wants guys to come back at him. I remember Danny Boyle came at him. It was the best. We could hear it through the whole dressing room. Like, he wanted the guys to go back at him. Like, he's like, he's trying to be like, all right, let's see what you're made of. Well, I don't know, Torts. We'll see how this one works out, fella. But the Updog, the Updog has fired you on the milk carton here. New little segment here I came up with, Updog. Curfew campfires. Sitting around the campfire telling some stories here. Listen, Princey posted something. Obviously, Ben Sherrod and Lucas Raymond got in a little, I'm not going to call it a fight. I'm going to call it a pillow fight. But hey, they're pissed off. They're losing. I remember this fight. Willie Mitchell, Ryan Kessler. I actually got in there and broke it up. Listen, this is Whit Mitchie's quote. We were just practicing hard, and that stuff happens. I thought our tempo was really good out there. We were battling much harder, and that stuff happens, so it was nothing, nothing. Anyways, the Vancouver media got a hold of this. Fighting in practice, this and that. So now we're talking about it in the dressing room, right? We're like, holy fuck, boys, these guys think you hate each other. Like, should we play this up a little bit? So they kind of played it up a little bit for the next day and pretend like they weren't talking and this and that. And then they came in hand in hand, arm around each other. It was just great. It was just their way of being like to the media in Canada, like, settle down.
Yeah, boys. Yeah,
totally. We're fine. It's unreal. But I do remember that. That's how we practice. Ryan Kessler, I loved having Kessler on my team. I mean, I hated playing against him, but he practiced the same way every day.
Yeah.
And that's what made us good. But I just remember these boys coming in hand. Kessler's hair is all slicked up. Mitchie's got a nice time. I'm like, look at these boys. Just playing with them.
No, you go back to some of the best teams. Philly, man. Philly Hartnell would play the same way in practice. Mike Richards would play the same way in practice. You had guys that, you know, Hatch, on a one-on-one drill with Hatch, good luck trying to get around him. Can exactly. Opener, throw it into the wall. You expected to play hard. It just translates to good hockey on the ice and intense hockey. And put yourself in good moments of, like, you know, trying to find ways to get better. It's just,
yeah,
that's right. Good teams know how to push each other.
And we were just dying when they actually showed it on Hockey Night in Canada, these two guys coming in arm. I'm like, they will show anything on TV in Canada for hockey. And Luongo's quote was great. It's just Ryan being Ryan. You know what I mean? There's nothing much to it. They're very good friends, which they were. They used to drive the rink together. Mitchie and Kess were tight, but that's the way it was. And that's hockey. So I got a good kick out of it, Updog. And last but not least, here at Missing Curfew, big news here. Updog's boy, Doug Armstrong, is the GM of the Four Nations and the Olympic team. And Army, I love your first move. Ryan Kessler named player relations advisor. Going to be right there. Going to help pick the teams. Going to learn from Army. This is what I wanted to happen to Ryan Getzlaf in Anaheim, and it hasn't. But Getzy, congratulations. I think this is awesome for him, Updog. You kind of lean towards Army getting it. I wasn't sure he was going to get the nod for it. I love his first move. Getzy, good for you, buddy. And Getzy's fired up for it.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Army is, he's Mr. GM Canada. He was, you know, before the Olympics last year got pulled, and our boy, John Cooper, you know, he was already named head coach and unfortunately couldn't be. Army was the GM there. Army was, you know, the guy back in Sochi for the Olympics. He's been there before. He's got a good, you know, he's got a good breath on the league, a good heartbeat on the league, and he's well respected. But it's just shocking that Getzy wasn't good enough for the Anaheim Ducks right
now.
He's good enough to be the biggest hockey nation's, you know, first player advisor. To me, it's a big whoops. On the Ducks' part, I don't know how the ownership let it happen, let alone president to the GM. Need to say no more. But Getzy's going to be the right guy. And I hope someone grabs him in the meantime, by the way, and places him, like, in their NHL room, in their NHL fucking, you know, war room.
He's just a guy who's been to war. He's going to learn. Yeah, I mean, there's no better competitor off the ice. There's no better guy in the dressing room. There's no better leader. The best captain in Ducks history. The leading scorer in Ducks history. I'm still waiting for them to announce when they're going to put his jersey in the rafters, because I'm going to be there, fire up the Sprinter van for that one. But listen, he's going to learn so much in these war room meetings with Doug Armstrong. Yeah. And then who Army's going to bring in? Some other guys, right? Yeah, Roberto Luongo will probably be involved. I don't know who else are going to be.
Doan will be there.
Steve
Wilde will be sitting next to him. Yeah.
Like, for Getzy, this is exactly what he deserves for his on-ice and off-ice character that he's shown throughout his career.
Yeah.
Represented Team Canada so many times. I just hope this is a step in the right direction for what he deserves in this game.
No,
and
right.
I think for Team Canada, he's going to be a huge asset. And Getzy, if you're not, we're going to call you out.
Yeah. Whole fucking trip, you get
slapped. It's all your fault, fella.
Hey, get slapped.
Hey, you called this. We had a spot on the podcast for you, and you wanted to go be Mr. Team Canada.
You better bring home a gold medal, get slapped. Yeah. We're going to call you out, put you right on the milk carton, fella. We'll put you right on the milk carton. So, Updog, always a pleasure getting back in the studio with you, fella. Morgan, Kyle, Hall Pass Media. That was Missing Curfew.
Fellas.
Updog, fella, if you're at the bar, club, or better yet on the golf course, and you look over at the fellas to order something, and they all freeze up.
Well, I'd tell them, hey, boys, loosen up. But what would you do, fella?
Exactly. Have some confidence, fellas. Or as Jagermeister calls it, shoffidence. If everyone's struggling, here's what you do. Just order for the table. A round of ice-cold Jagermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, Updog, we've all been drinking Jagermeister wrong.
I guess so. And how do you think we should be drinking it?
The fellas at Jagermeister, they want it at 0 degrees Fahrenheit, Uppy.
You know what? Thinking back, when that cart girl comes around the path, Obes, and the boys are thirsty, and you're just wishing, damn, I'd love just a nice cold shot of Jagermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging with friends or at the bar, call the shots, fellas. Cheers. With ice-cold shots of Jagermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check Jagermeister out at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Drink responsibly. Jagermeister Liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume. Imported by Mast Jagermeister US, White Plains, New York.